Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Millman.
Hello.
And Rachel Shackleton.
Good day.
Do you guys like festivals, I say?
Yes. I like our festivals, Scott?
Just festivals in general, Rach. Are you a big old fan?
Sure, I love a good festival. What do you mean? Do you mean a music festival?
No, I don't. This is pioneering a whole new type of festival, which I'm not cool with, but we'll see how we go. So yeah, basically there's a whole thing came out that E3 is sort of rethinking itself for next year. And the ESA, which is the body behind it, are going down this festival route. Which, in theory, gaming festival sounds cool.
Yeah, it does. It sounds cool. Now, so we were talking about this before, and I was like, do you know what? It's cool that E3 are trying something new. However, Scott doesn't feel the same.
Well, it's definitely the case that E3 can try something new. And like, you can go over to the main What Culture Gaming channel and find the breakdown of the report itself, because there are all sorts of corporate style things about the power of social media and exploiting Generation Z, and like literally quotes from what they're planning on doing in terms of paying for media sponsorship and XYZ. But let's just flip it and talk about the potential positives, because the state of E3 at the minute, it's not in a very good place.
It's just boring, isn't it? I feel like more and more people are realizing now that E3 isn't the one and only thing where stuff gets announced and you get to play games early, then it's people are kind of losing interest in it, because for people like us, obviously, it being from the UK, we have EGX, Eurogamer Expo, we have Gamescom over in Europe. So we're maybe not going to go all the way to E3 because it's just... just a bit boring now.
Well, I was
going to
say, like, yeah, what have you guys thought of E3 this generation? Because I feel like it's lost its spark a bit.
I've never been like big on E3. Like, I like catching up with all the highlights and everything, but afterwards, like, it's never been something I'm like, oh my God, I have to be there. I like seeing everything that comes up afterwards where it's all like the little highlights and everything.
Right.
I really like it as a showcase reel. I think it's a great, like, little shower of everything that's coming up and to get some hype brewed up sort of thing. So I think the way that it's going for me is probably a bit more preferable, because it's all trailers and live action things and that sort of stuff, I think, and CG trailers and that sort of stuff. I think that's exciting, but I think that it's definitely falling off the edge of what it once was. Its golden age has declined, where it was all like early access and proper game celebration, and now it's please come to E3, please. Like,
please notice us. Do you think the same thing, Rich, in terms of like, it's been a while since E3 really debuted something that we didn't sort of know was coming?
Yeah, probably, because anything and everything leaks these days anyway, so there's a lot less hype kind of around it. I feel like another big thing about, obviously, actually, the process of going to E3, like, and not just like sitting at home and watching it, is like, it's the whole being there, the whole atmosphere, and I feel like the atmosphere these days is just taken over by like, here, do you want to go wait 3 hours in a queue to play Cyberpunk for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And that has totally taken over. So what we did see in this news article was a lot of ways they were thinking of improving that, and that is one positive. So they're looking at doing what like Disneyland does, and making sure you spend a little time in the queue as possible.
Yeah, they've got like a fast pass system they're talking about, which is weird, because like, that in theory is a cool idea that you can pre-book something that you want to play, but they also said they're going to allow 10,000 more people into the venue, which seems kind of nuts when this year's
counterproductive, but yeah,
maybe. You know, this whole thing sounds to me like Fyre Festival was a good idea when that came on the table, and look at what that mess was.
Actually, God, if you think about Fyre Festival, because one of the opening statements from this thing is that they're focusing on celebrities and influencers. And like,
it's Fyre Festival for the gaming world. Like.
I mean, they like sort of outline this thing where they talk about like, you know, the general sort of like social currency that E3 has and trying to build that back up and make sure that it's this like, you know, you can't miss it. E3 is the place where everyone's going to be and whatever, which I think of E3 like in more of a trade instance, which like, I guess if maybe that's the only way for them to recapture an identity that's bankable. But I don't, like I said, like you mentioned before, I don't think of E3 as the essential thing anymore.
Yeah.
Mainly because like what you said, Rich, in terms of things leak all the time. Plus like if we talk about like the Nintendo Directs, like that's like a little mini E3 every, what, like a month or whatever at the minute?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys prefer that.
Especially if you like Nintendo, which we obviously do. Mm-hmm. Are you lukewarm Nintendo?
Come on in.
I'm over here, I'm with Xbox. I'm trying to make Microsoft feel better. I'm rubbing their back. Come on, sweetie.
You can do it.
Yeah.
But there was once upon a time when I thought the Nintendo treehouses were like kind of lame.
Yes.
And I thought the whole like show floor, like stage presence was much cooler.
Mm.
But nowadays I find myself enjoying the pre-recorded shows so much more. Maybe I'm just more into Nintendo nowadays. Who knows?
No, but like it's a weird like transition though, because like the thing that Nintendo have done is what you said, Ash, about like the difference of like, you know, like packaging all the stuff from E3 and just giving you it in one big live stream.
Yeah.
Nintendo cut out all the fluff. There's no like awkward stage bants. There's nothing going wrong.
Oh, God.
Just, you know, it's all the stuff that you want, which like a part of me misses the old cringy E3, because you only get that if you stay and watch it live. Like the demo doesn't work and the person's left on stage or something doesn't fire or whatever.
But it just hurts your soul watching it happen. It's like, oh, this is really good, like really good crack, but I feel bad for you. Like,
but it's like, when was the last time either of you guys watched one live? And is it a thing that's going to come down to the fact that we're in the UK, like loads of stuff happens during the night. But did you guys ever used to watch them at the time when they were live?
Always catch up in the morning. Okay. I always watch highlights in the morning. That's always been my way of doing it. But like, I guess I'm just a bit cynical like that. I'm always like, I want my sleep.
You just love your sleep, by the way. I'm the same. As long as if it's on later than 1 a.m, I tend to just watch it on a What Culture Gaming catch up in the morning. But no, I really like watching them live. Microsoft's event is usually around 8 p.m. our time, so I've watched that for the past few years. And like Nintendo, I watch live because live tweeting and stuff like that. It's fun.
But I think if it's in terms of like what they can offer, I wonder if they've looked at their data and realized how many people don't watch it live versus obviously the coverage they're going to get anyway. Like, you know, whatever they put out and go, this thing came out, you know, and was announced at E3, it's going to get picked up by all the news outlets regardless. But I guess in terms of like trying to save E3 or like sort of build on the stuff that they're going for me, a lot of the big stuff, like especially like in the last few years, came from the Game Awards, where it's like you already have the award side of it and then all the trailers alongside it.
Yeah.
Which I like that in terms of, you know, like you get a little bit extra. It's not just the
trailers.
They have
that extra level of hype where you're like, oh, who's going to win Game of the Year?
Yeah.
And, are we going to get new games? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe that's what E3 is trying to do. It's trying to match that. Like, what extra things can we have? And like you said, they're thinking of bringing celebrities in. And I'm like, okay, turning it into a festival.
If it becomes like a celebrity and influencer, like, ruled sort of place, it's going to turn into like an esports event and then people with like games there. Like, I feel like that's the way it could be going.
Yeah. Esports are fun.
Esports can be awesome. But
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No,
but it's like that's the thing. They kind of feel like separate things. And they're like, in terms of them bringing like influencers and stuff in, like you know, with TwitchCon, because I haven't been to TwitchCon.
Oh my God, TwitchCon!
How much does like TwitchCon is all about the individuals and the influencers? They don't have like new game reveals or anything. Like,
no. That's just opposite. It's purely about streamers and like products for streamers. I've never been to the San Diego one, but I went to Berlin last year, and it was apparently a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the full knowledge.
But in terms of like what TwitchCon is, like the appeal of it, like is there a way to do a half TwitchCon, half E3 thing, or does that just seem like they don't match?
I feel like that's what E3 are wanting to do. They're wanting to make it a lot more about wanting to go with your friends and it being this big sort of, like you said, festival event. Somewhere where you're going to get a bunch of freebies, you're going to maybe try some new games and just have like enjoy the time and the people that you see there, for sure. I think that could really, really transform E3. However, as long as it doesn't verge on being too cringy.
I think it's like, it'd be a hard line to walk. Because like for me, if I think of like TwitchCon, or I think of like, you know, Twitch personalities like yourself or like whatever. And it's like, you want to have like, you know, you want to have individuals that you believe in that you want to watch and you want their opinions on games.
Yeah.
Which like for me is the complete opposite of E3 trying to control its message and all these different messages that they've put out as part of this new report in terms of like doing like deals with different media personalities. Like, I mean, in terms of like, you know, like trying to be an independent media personality, like you're not going to watch someone. You're not going to go to a show to see a certain individual knowing that they're going to champion the game that they're seeing regardless. Like, you'd want to go and then just see what they say, which doesn't really work. If
they're inviting them for like to pour their stance.
Yeah, exactly. Like then their response is also kind of controlled, which like for me, the whole appeal of watching an individual or whatever is that they're more freeform. which like I don't really think that these things match up. But
I guess if they just give them a pass and let them go around and be like, okay, we'll just do some content for us, like they do with like other conventions and stuff. Like influencers at conventions should always be like, it should always just be free reign. Give them like a pass or whatever, and then they do all their own honest reviews and everything. And then you can say, oh, they're here, and they'll do a signing tent or whatever, rather than attach them to a specific game.
Yeah, or even give them some kind of panel where they can have a little presentation or something. I'm going to reveal my ignorance here about the state of E3 at the minute, because I've never been, and I don't actually like look into a lot of the expo stuff, like the show floor stuff. So at present state, like E3 is, it has an expo hall where you can try new games and queue for hours. Do they have the keynote speech. Do they have any kind of like presentations like that, where they have people like they could invite celebrities and influencers?
Well, they've done EA did a whole thing a couple years ago with the new Battlefield, where they had like Snoop Dogg and a whole bunch of like Jamie Foxx and a whole bunch of different actors all playing Battlefield. And it's like, when they announced the thing as part of this new news saying they want to get some actors in to showcase games, that's what my mind went to.
Yeah.
Was when they all got like Snoop Dogg snuck some weed in, they all got high and played Battlefield.
I mean, that wasn't like, good.
No, and it's like only when people bring it back up again, it's like, oh yeah, like that sort of happened. But I wonder how much they experimented with that stuff in the past to try and build an identity for E3 as like this big media style thing where all the actors just drop in and who's going to be there this year and whatever. Like, is that something that interests you guys in terms of it, like a big actor popularity showcase?
Snoop Dogg coming to play Battlefront does interest me. I don't know. I feel like I don't know, the whole concept of it turning this way, it's grabbing at straws, is them pushing themselves out of a grave rather than evolving and changing with the times. It's them going, oh, if we do this, maybe we'll still be relevant. Like, that's what it feels more like, which makes it icky and cringy rather than, oh, wow, that could be exciting. I think actors and big name brands and influencers and that sort of thing is a good idea, but you can't live off your guests and not your content.
And they're very much like blatantly saying they want to, like, you know, do media partnerships, control what people are going to be saying. Yeah, like, you know, it feels like a lot of fake energy.
Exactly. You need your basis needs to be people coming for good content. Like the content is king. Content is king, guys.
It is.
Rather than the people who are coming and saying, oh yeah, look at this content. So
that's kind of what I meant about the independence of like Twitch streamers or general sort of streaming personalities in general. Like, you go to them because they're separated from this stuff.
Yes.
Like, you don't just want an extension of the go-to sort of, you know, like the media cycle in general.
That's
kind of thing.
100%. What E3 needs is for people to want to go there.
That's what they need.
So they need to cater to individuals. They need to be real. They need to be like, just, they need to, this is going to sound so lame, they need to just be cool. People need to think that E3 is cool again and not just disappointing and boring and 3 hours of queuing.
Because I guess, in terms of E3 being cool, I had a whole point down here about like when E3 was the best thing ever. And it's like, this might sound incredibly lame as well, but I don't know if you guys have like favorite E3s. I totally do. Lots. But it's because it was like the Halo 3 reveal or like Twilight Princess when that got revealed. Or Wind Waker.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
Like, Zelda was a big deal. Some of the Metal Gears getting revealed. Like, it was for me, they were landmark events, like in growing up as a gamer kind of thing, which I feel like E3's moved away from, sometimes because of social media, sometimes because of leaks. But like, yeah, trying to get back to when E3 was cool. Like, I guess, what do we kind of want from that? Is it like, you want like a more controlled space in terms of the leaks and the news? Should developers hang back and reveal their big stuff at E3?
I want developers to be interested in going there again. Everyone pulling out, like a Sony pulling out and all that sort of thing. That's what makes it feel uncool. It's like, oh, well, if my favorite's not going, then I don't want to go. Like, that's what the premise of it is. So I think for it being cool again would be for actual brands and developers and companies to see it as cool and a place that they can showcase themselves rather than doing their own individual thing that works really well, like Nintendo Direct. They need a platform to be able to hype things up. Like, it should just be a hype vehicle, I think. It should be a reveals and CG trailers event. Like, I think that's what it should be.
That's what everyone used to always think of it as. It's weird when you think of like what the Game Awards have turned into, or like with Gamescom when they hired like Jeff Keighley to do this. Like, this year in 2019 was the first one where they hired they had an opening show, and it was like, oh, there's going to be these big reveals and whatever, and then like, you know, we stayed and watched it, and it was a thing. There wasn't massive amounts from it, but in terms of them kind of going for that, you had loads of partner companies saying like, we're going to be revealing our new thing at this, you know, you're not going to get to see it until Gamescom.
They tried.
But like with E3, I wonder if it's because, I mean, there's a whole bunch of reports on how much it costs to actually get at E3 and have a booth there, or have like, you know, the merchandise and everything else, that you've already kind of eaten into your profits before you even get to showcase your game. I wonder if over time a lot of the companies have just been like, actually the ESA ask for a hell of a lot of money. I mean, they're very corporately minded in terms of the stuff that they're doing, controlling the message and whatever. If a lot of companies have just been waiting for the opportunity to just get the hell out of E3 and go do their own live stream or do their own show or whatever. Because in terms of Nintendo Directs, like PlayStation did the State of Play, which only did like two episodes or whatever it was, and nothing really came from it.
I'm glad they kind of stopped that, to be honest.
Yeah, but I guess, like, as an overall question, like, do you like prefer like a constant stream of people that, of different companies updating you on what's going on versus hanging back and knowing that you only need to check into one?
Actually, the whole once a year thing. Oh, I think I would.
Yeah, I like that as an event.
But oh my god, but why not make the hype last all year? Oh, I see both.
That's what I meant about the direct stuff, because like we get like a little mini E3 sort of every month, and we all like, you know, crowd around our computers and, oh my god, Luigi's got a new skin or whatever it is.
Luigi.
And it's always like little things like that, and I think I would take that instead. But E3 hype is so good.
It is good. It is a big event, and I want it to be this big once a year gamer event that nothing leaks from.
Yeah.
It's always going to leak, Rich. We're online now.
Surprises, though. I'm gutted. See, if I'd found out about Elden Ring watching E3 and not like the day before, oh, I would have lost my mind.
I still popped my little socks off when Elden Ring popped up, though.
Yeah.
It was still a good time. What do you think in terms of the split between year long and...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Individual events.
I like the big one-off. Everyone's like, whoa, okay, what's going on here? I think that's a really nice way of doing it, but it would be too void a year without having loads of little things. I think State of Plays, Nintendo Directs, Microsoft doing whatever the hell they want.
They have no idea what they're doing.
Just have, like, I think little updates throughout the year is a good way of doing it, but then have their big reveals, their big moments all for this one place. But then you've got to look at the other side of it, is if everybody sees E3 as this big hype machine where everything gets revealed and everyone's celebrates and goes, whoa, jubilant is what I meant to say.
I mean, like, an actual celebration is like a jubilee.
Yeah, happy birthday, Queen.
Yeah, there we go. Royalty of gaming. But
thanks, gaming.
If they do that, then everything is competing with each other for having the top spot. Like, all the big things get washed away into one big mess. So from like an actual hype and from a standpoint of getting developers to get like their pre-releases, pre-orders, all that sort of things, for getting people invested in their game, that they have a better chance of doing it throughout the year rather than all year three.
I think if we were publishers or developers, it doesn't actually make that much business sense to wait and reveal something on the same day that everyone else is doing it.
You want your spotlight. I think that's what it is. And we reckon that's why Sony pulled out, because they want even more of the spotlight. I am actually swaying more towards like maybe E3 is just done,
because it's
maybe
like
that way is just
in like
done.
An era of like live streaming, like I said, and Twitch and social media, and getting your message out on the day, like you don't even need a trade show anymore. And it's like, I think my soft spot for it comes from growing up with it, and just like, I love those yearly reveals. Like I said, I have those specific game releases.
I like it being such a big deal.
But it's just maybe it just doesn't belong anymore.
I think gaming needs something like it, and whether that turns into the Game Awards, where like it's like an award show as well, I think that that's probably more what we need to lean towards, is celebrating that as like the new peak of what E3 could be, where it's like it's an award show, it's got all the reveals, it's got celebrities coming doing talks, it should have like information and deep dives and that sort of stuff. It should be like an everything sort of like a week long event, maybe. So, I don't know, I'm a bit spitballing, but I could just have
more awards.
Just make it like this big wholesome event, and then E3 kind of is like the whereas it was E3 and then Game Awards. Game Awards and then E3 for some extra.
There's something about the Game Awards that I feel it's a stupid thing to say about a giant live show, but I feel like it has heart. Jeff Keighley clearly cares about what he's putting on, and they have like nice little interviews with different developers and publishers and individuals that are responsible for the games, you know, overall. Whereas E3, especially with this new stuff, feels like it's kind of completely lost the individual and gone full on, you know, corporate show.
It does feel much more like it's money centered rather than like love of video games. Whereas with the Game Awards, it's literally like, this was the best indie game of the year, this was the best soundtrack. It feels like it's more like loving, for sure.
And it's just like, that's the thing that I think E3 used to have back in the day, whether or not we were blinded because we were younger and we viewed it as more personal because gaming wasn't what it is today. Gaming overall was just so much smaller.
That's true, it's huge now.
And it was like, when you put E3 on when you were like younger in your teens or whatever, it was like, this is my event, it's the big sort of special thing. But obviously as gaming's got bigger and more mainstream, they've started playing to that mainstream crowd.
It's like how the internet works, isn't it? It's like, before the internet, everyone was like, ooh, I had to ring up people on my phone, I had to watch this, I had to record it onto a tape recorder.
Oh god, it's E3 dialer.
Well, it's like it's like when everyone could come together to see this one thing, whereas now it's available all the time, and it's like the internet streams everywhere. Like it's all like, you don't need it.
Yeah, what do you think in terms of, because I've got a little point down here about the way that I feel like some of these companies or shows like think of gamers. Like, because like I said, like since like the Wii blew up and then Call of Duty 4 blew up, and it was all of a sudden gaming was way more mainstream, you had celebrities getting involved in tournaments and mentioning stuff. Do you kind of feel that shift overall as well, like having grown up as gamers? Like, because I feel that difference when I think, when I look at the notes that they're making in terms of how they're going to frame E3, it's not marketed towards me anymore. It's not marketed towards someone who's going to be there at a midnight launch. It's marketed to the people who are going to buy a shirt that says gamer with a 3 on R or whatever on the end, which isn't at all the people who used to support the industry in the first place.
I'm getting major deja vu here. I feel like I've been asked this before, or maybe I'm just, it's weird. So you think E3 is more for kids?
Not necessarily kids, but just a more casual approach. Because the casual pool is so much bigger than the dedicated hardcore, like, you know, FU noob, look at my kill streak type of people. Which is like,
happily sit in the resident.
It's
like,
true. It's like, that's a nice warm little pool. But that's the thing. It's like they're trying to market to a bigger sort of industry. Like, there are way more downsides to the extremely angry, you know, the actual gamers or whatever, the people who feel like they gatekeep the whole industry. Like, that's not who you want to play to either. But the mainstream app stuff, the Clash of Clans people, that kind of thing.
I don't know, but I feel like from my experience of the game industry growing up as a gamer, I guess it's different. It's different because like I grew up with lots of people who are like the aggressive gamer who's like, I play all this, like prove yourself to me. You've got to prove that you're a gamer, all that sort of thing, which I guess comes with the territory.
That's rage on Dark Souls,
But you know what I mean? It just comes with the territory of being a girl, grown up sort of thing. You have to be like, oh yeah, I'm a girl who also likes games, lol. So you have that. And then as it's gotten more popular and moved into the mainstream and everyone can access it and be different levels of gamer and everyone can celebrate all the different things that gaming offers, I feel like it's eased up so much. The gatekeeping has stopped. It's much more enjoyable. All the things that gaming is offering has loads more opportunities to flourish because everyone is putting into it and dipping in and saying, oh, well, maybe I'll try this, like because of the big casual pool that we now have. So I prefer how it's grown than when it was in the past. And I don't know how much that reflects in E3, but I feel like the people who wear the gamer with the 3, that would have been my past, whereas now I think that people are a lot more chill.
I don't need to get a life. I have money.
I don't get old, I level up. There's loads of things like that. I think it's like, it is weird because you mentioned the Disney thing before, and they do mention it in their news thing as well, in terms of like fast-tracking queues and passes and stuff. It's like, is it a viable future for E3 to become the Disneyland of gaming? Like, it is the most like easily accessible thing.
Do you know what? Yes, because why not?
Yeah, maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe they ditch all the trailers, they ditch the whole exclusivity thing. They lose everything that we used to associate with E3, and they trade on the name alone, because E3 is one of the only like mainstream gaming shows that most people know as a household name.
Just keep it as a big festival once a year where there's the odd NBA players playing NBA. And honestly, I think that is a good show. It's as cringy as it sounds, just have it as a big festival.
I think we've absolutely turned face on this. Because at the beginning I was like,
I don't think I have.
No, it sounds really cringy and horrible at being a big festival. But like, I agree. It having the gimmicky, like the big like stage show, but like
somewhere you'd want to just bring your kids to.
Yeah, entertainment. Yeah. Like take something from a game, make it real life, and everyone go, wow, okay, it's a real Lego car. Like that's what I want to see. Like I want to see.
I would want to go there with my friends as well. Oh, Scott, man.
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't go to that stuff, and I love that what that is. But for me, that wouldn't be. But that's the thing. Like
that's
that,
not it E3.
It's not E3. And I wonder if like they're just maybe this is the thing that makes the most sense because of all the leaks, because of all the things that take the sting out of what E3 used to be. That maybe this is one of the only things that they have left to do, the only cards they have left to play is to become as mainstream as possible.
I think I don't think it's what it needs right now. As much as we can celebrate this festival idea, I don't think right now, no, because it's not going to work. It is still reliant on a lot of developers and people going and showing their trailers, having a good time and all that sort of thing. There's still a place for that, a smaller one. There's still very much a place for that, but I think that is its future. And I think putting safeguarding methods into place to try and get there. They're still crawling themselves out of a grave and it's going to be cringing until they figure it out. I think once they actually get there and find their feet and get an identity again, that's what's going to be what saves them. And if it's festivals and influencers and big like paper mache monsters roaming around that you can like play paintball with, I don't know.
If they've got a giant foam shovel knight, I'll probably go.
Like a knight wandering around shoveling things and you can play that. I just think having gimmicks is a good way for them.
Like a
to
celebration
go.
Of all things gaming, but in like a service level thing.
Big ass Fortnite climbing.
There'd be so much of that.
Oh, yes.
What? You want the Fortnite thing?
I would
thing?
Climb up the fort.
I'd probably climb the Fortnite thing.
Yeah, you would.
Oh, it's bad this. Let's do some general sort of like wish listy stuff for the new E3. So you imagine it's going to be festival style.
Fortnite fort.
So you Fortnite climbing frame. What would your balance be between the your influencers, your celebrities, your known quantities? How do you sort of get the people in without being too forced? And making it cringy.
I want them to convince. I want it to be somewhere that gaming, like YouTubers and stuff, and people and things want to go to. But I'm not sure how they would do that because it's 1 p.m. and I'm really tired. But
it's like, 10 to 2, Rach.
Okay, it's 10 to 2. Actually, it's 10 to 2, Rachel. Yeah, I want them to get it to a state where they don't have to pay people to lie about it. I want it to be so cool that people want to go, and people like us, maybe if we were invited, that would be really cool.
It would be really cool. Let's go.
Would want to go, and then they're going to give an honest opinion about it, and they're going to have a better time, and then people are going to be excited to see them. Mm-hmm. And as for people going as part of the public. Yeah, they're going to want to go because these people that they look up to want to go.
My like inroad for it is you pick the celebrities that are already known as gamers. You get people like 100%. Dara O'Brien or...
Rhonda Rousey.
Well, yeah.
She plays games.
She plays Warcraft.
Her and Conor McGregor can come fight over the UFC.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Nomenclature. But I think I'll probably do the inroad with them. I wouldn't just be like, I couldn't even think of... Name me a random celebrity.
Chris Hemsworth.
I would be like, here's Chris Hemsworth. He'd actually be really cool.
He'd be really cool.
Yeah, not him.
He's also Thor. So
James Corden. Don't get James Corden.
Oh, God, I was just talking about James on the main channel.
What, James Corden?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, we were talking about Into the Woods. Anyway, that's irrelevant.
Rachel's favorite film.
It's not my favorite film.
He gets a
Yes, so but I was sort of suggesting like people who we already know as being YouTubers that are gaming YouTubers. Right. Like, I'm not saying I'd love to meet PewDiePie, but I would love to meet PewDiePie. Get that. Get that happening.
If you get the little tease out.
No, yeah, so exactly. Like you're saying, like, or even further afield, like more household names, but who are well known as being gamers. Mm. Yeah.
There's a weird split as well in terms of like Jack Black started his new YouTube channel, which was kind of a gaming thing. Someone like him, all the Javinsky games.
Jack Black over PewDiePie. Yes.
Big old Jack Black. I'm a huge fan of Mr.
Black.
Oh,
that would be really cool.
And it's weird because like there was the whole thing of like YouTubers becoming celebrities over time, and then now there's a few celebrities becoming YouTubers. Jack Black has a channel, Will Smith has a channel. And it's like,
I
want to
see Soldier Boy there. Like,
you don't want Soldier Boy. You'll bring more consoles. Would you like a small Soldier Boy Elite? But I think that could be a potential inroad as you find that Venn diagram. You don't just give it to someone like James Corden or whatever that is maybe like a known name but doesn't really know the subject matter. Because I think
they were saying about getting athletes in that article. Yeah, they were saying get like Usain Bolt to do
one of their examples.
He's tied up with
Virgin. It's true. One of their examples was the LA Lakers playing in a basketball game or something.
Yeah, but they're not gamers.
That's the thing, right? So I wonder how much that idea of what is a gamer that like has kind of gone back and forward, has been gatekeeped, and
to say that they're not gamers? Maybe they do like a good game. That's true.
I wonder.
Sorry.
depending on who they pick, you know, they could pick certain people that have that sort of gamer cred. It's like this invisible, like, sort of way that we view certain people. Like I said, Dara O'Brien, he's a gamer, he knows his stuff. You kind of want to pick those people that could hang with the remaining people who would go to E3 because they want the hardcore game stuff.
I think having athletes is a good idea because of how many sports games there are. So, like, obviously NBA and FIFA and that sort of thing. Yes, that would be really cool for the people who like those games, but also it draws a new audience in, which we might all be like, well, they're not gamers, but I think that's a really good way
James
of
Corden fans.
Getting people into gaming, isn't it? Like, go to an expo, yeah. Have a great time, see all of this stuff that they had, like, no idea about, because there's still, like, a weird thing about gaming being for nerds, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. They go in and say, okay, wow, this is cool stuff. This cool person's here. Maybe I'll pick up that new copy of The Last of Us 2 and, like, try it out sort of thing. So.
That's true, because if they have it big enough, which, let's be honest, is pretty big, then there's no, you don't have to gatekeep it. You don't have to, like, funnel it to only be a certain type of game, gamer, celebrity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could literally have, like, a bit of everything. That's really cool.
I think that's what I'm assuming that's what they're going to try and do. The big push at the minute seems to be, like, just steering headlong into the mainstream stuff. There was a user on Twitter called Daniel Ahmed, who's the big sort, he puts a lot of data out about different, like, attendance figures. He's very much lots of insider sort of figures. And he was saying, oh, you put up a big list of the attendance figures for E3, and it's about a quarter of the average other show. So at the minute, E3 is way down. Like, something like Gamescom was, like, closer to 300,000 people who went there. E3 was about 66,000. So it's like, at the minute, E3 is trailing. But I think that something like this, like you said,
I had no idea. I couldn't. Wow.
And it's like that inroad that you said about, like, you know, bring your kids, bring your family, go check out E3. It's a casual thing. It's a Disneyland type thing. That would be the best way this could go. I think that reading some of the things that they've put out, there's a really cringy way for them to go. Like, overblown with every celebrity they can get their hands on, and it just feels too try hard. But hopefully going forward they might figure it out.
They've got to do some trial and error, and they've got to mess up before they get right. So I think as much as this does instantly goes like I think it will get better with time, and there's plenty of opportunities for it to be a real grand lovely thing as well, but it's just I think it needs time to grow before we all go get rid of it. Like
that's I'll be going get rid of it as my natural reaction. What are your final thoughts?
No, I'm just really really glad that they've recognized that they're not at present there's something they need to work on, and I think that is the first step. It's a good first step, and they'll hopefully come up with some good ideas to make it this awesome new thing that we all maybe hopefully get to go to.
We can all go climb on the Fortnite
thing. Let's go climb the Fortnite
But let us know anything down in the comments below if you're watching the video side of things, or come find us on social media if you're listening on the audio platforms. For now though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast, and I've been your host Scott Tailford, joined by Ash Millman.
Goodbye.
And Rachel Shackleton.
Take it easy,
and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.